Well, again, everybody, welcome back to the daily edition of the Trek Podcast of Joy, here with my ghost of Bell on this beautiful Monday, July 15th, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to my podcast. Talking today about the topic of there is nobody coming to get you. There is nobody coming to get you. So if you've been following me along here these last few days, you know that I've been podcasting daily, sometimes even twice a day, honestly, sometimes even three times a day. And a lot of that has been a kind of a cleansing of sorts. You know how you go through a summer cleansing or a 40-day cleanse? This is pretty much my 40-day cleanse, working through things of the last, maybe the last 10, 20 years, maybe even longer. And today's episode is something that definitely has been a narrative or a story that I've told myself for maybe, I'm 50 now, so probably at least 30 years, if not longer. And I think that the way this relates to you, my hope and my prayer is that all of these episodes have something redemptive for you, obviously. Is that you might also have been hanging on to a narrative about your life that haunts you. All coming or stemming from an event, a traumatic event that may have happened in your childhood when you were 5, 10, 15. That even though you've been in church, you've read a ton of verses, heard a million sermons, and maybe even been through therapy or even medication or whatever, all things that I've done, it still tends to hang on to you or haunt you. And you may not even be aware of it, but it may come out in anger, in frustration, in addictions, in depression and isolation. And you keep hoping that the next move to a new house may fix it. You hope that buying that new dress will fix it. You hope that if you only sleep more or rest more, you hope that all these things will fix it, but yet you realize that nothing is fixing the problem. It's still there. And that's basically my story when it comes to no one is coming to get you. And for me, the no one coming to get you is the INS, or what now we call ICE, I-C-E, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS, and now ICE, I forget what it stands for, immigration something or the other, I don't really remember. Let me look it up, because obviously it's in the news a lot, and it's ironic that this has become such a thing these last, 10 years. But ICE, let's see, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so even worse of a title. And so I pray for the children who are growing up with these horrible letters. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And this is not a political episode. This is human. This is me as a 50-year-old man and my story with immigration. And so let me say one more thing. You may not deal with immigration issues. You may have someone that has been through this, maybe your parents or a friend or someone that's under the DACA program. So you might be someone in your 20s who is still trying to figure out your citizenship. And as we know, there is no current path to citizenship for many people, 11 million people, so the statistics say. But as I said, this is not about the legal or Trump or Obama or whatever. This is about the human element and the trauma. So there's no one is coming to get you. So I'll start with my first time in therapy. When I was at Biola, Talbot Seminary, I already knew that there was something wrong with me called anxiety. I knew that there was something that was simmering beneath the surface, something that I couldn't quite understand what it was. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it just would bubble up. It would come and try to defeat me or try to take over my senses and my my wellness. And I, of course, I didn't like that. I would feel panic attacks, and excuse my audio device here is making some crackling noises, but I think I'm fine. Just wanted to turn the volume up a bit for you guys. And so this whole thing began to panic my body. If you're familiar with panic attacks and anxiety, it's something that just suddenly hits you and you don't even know why. So I went to therapy there at Talbot, and at Talbot Seminary or Biola, they have a counseling service. And so they have students that are studying to be therapists called Rosemead School of Counseling. And so I saw a student, and this student, I thought, oh, come on, she doesn't know anything. This is a young person that's younger than me. I was maybe, what, 35 at the time, 30? And I was sort of pessimistic and even critical of her. But she told me something that has rung true in my life 20 years later. And she said, you're a perfect candidate for long-term therapy. You are a perfect candidate for long-term therapy. And guess what? This girl, this young student was right. Because my guess is I was very honest with her. And as she heard my story of war, separation, immigration, my grandmother who was ill, she could tell that there was a lot going on inside of me. And so basically this trauma that I've been hanging on to, I would say until yesterday by accident, is this fear that someone is coming to get me. This fear of the INS, or what we call now ICE, is coming to get me. So my quick immigration story is I came here as a young person, and in those days what they had, like these days, they have just regular visas or basically a permit for 3 months, 6 months to stay in the country. You can't work, but I mean, I was 12, 13, so obviously I wasn't looking to work or make a life. I was here to visit my grandma. Well, when the war of Nicaragua hit, then there was a lot of trauma, and people began to apply for asylum and all these things. And I should have been a perfect candidate to become a U.S. citizen through the asylum route. I mean, I was a 12-year-old boy who was going to be drafted to go fight and most likely die, like many of my friends did. But because of basically a law that started a month after I came into the country, basically, I mean, we saw a bunch of lawyers. I missed the deadline, let's just put it this way, for this new law that Reagan implemented by a month. And because of that 1 month, let's say his law began in January, and I don't know, maybe I came into the country in December. Because of that 1 month, I wasn't able to be legalized at age, I don't know, 18, whenever that happened, 16, 17, somewhere around those years. And then began my walk of death or trauma, fearing that any day, any moment, someone would come to get me. And I can't describe it. All I can tell you is that my body has been living with this trauma for 30 years. I cannot describe the feeling. Even after I became a U.S. citizen, guys, I still felt afraid, because it's like secondhand smoke. This trauma just lingers until you figure it out, until something happens that you are released from this traumatic experience. Years of and years and years of fearing that someone would come in to get you and send you back home to a country that I loved and I still love to this day, but was dealing with terrible political problems. I didn't want to go back. My home was here. My life is here. This is where I was meant to be from day one, here in this beautiful country and in this state and in the city of Long Beach, California. But this pending fear was there. We tried everything, every law. We tried to do everything legally. And this is why I understand the plight of those 11 or 12 million people who are undocumented, who say that there is no path. We're talking about people who not only are they here to do good, but to go back to their countries would mean death. And are there some people who are, quote, drug dealers or whatever? Well, of course. I mean, I'm sure there's a percentage of people, because humanity is humanity, who are not great people. But the majority of us, myself included, back in those days, we were here because we love this country. And because we want to make everything better and everyone better around us. But the laws were upside down. I missed the deadline by a month. And because of that, I was traumatized for the next 30 years. And anxiety can kill you. I mean, I would say that I don't think I've ever been close to physical death, but I would say emotionally, the anxiety has cost me money, degrees, status, success. It's cost me a lot. I've had to work very hard through therapy and medication and prayer and counseling, yoga, and oh my goodness. Like this girl said, a lifetime of working on this traumatic feeling and fear of someone is knocking at your door and is going to take you away. But here's what I want to say. Yesterday, almost by accident, guys, God told me that there is nobody coming to my door, that there is no one coming to get me. I don't know how it happened. I was here recording an episode, and you may want to go back to episode, what is it, 370 or 371, the one I did yesterday, Sunday, the 14th of July. I think it was the second one I did, because I think I recorded two of them yesterday. And as I was just talking about this and that, you may want to go back even to it. It just suddenly came out of me that I had always feared that someone was coming to get me. And how I finally realized, like in that moment, that no one was here to get me. There was no one coming to get me. And in fact, it even went further, if you go back to the episode, and Jesus gave me this notion from Revelation 3 that not only is Satan or evil not coming to get me, but he is actually standing at the door. And he's the one who's knocking, and he's the one who now has come into my home. And he's now the one who's taking over my house. And so, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There's freedom. There is no anxiety, fear. There is no depression. There is no sadness. There's no reason for me to be in bed right now feeling sad or depressed or anxious about this or this pain or that possibility, because there's nobody coming to my door to get me. There's no INS. There's no ICE coming to my door. I mean, literally, because I'm a U.S. citizen. But remember, I've been a U.S. citizen for years, 20 years. And yet that fear remained even after that, because trauma is illogical. And this is where I want to maybe connect this with you. You might have no reason to be in fear, but you're still living in that fear. And I just want to say, I'm so sorry. I want to say, I understand. I don't know what to tell you except that in God's time, because of his grace, in due season, yesterday, July 14th, I finally understood that there's nobody coming to get me. There's no INS agent. There's no immigration and customs enforcement police coming to get me. There is no danger outside of my door. There is no imminent death. I'm not being sent back anywhere. I belong here. I am loved. Jesus is the one that's actually out there. And I've opened my house to him, and he's the one that's entering my house. He's the one that's here with me right now in this very hour. Here, July 15th, 2019. I thank you, Jesus. He's here. And not only is he here, but also people that love me. Because when you're afraid of a pending doom and a pending disaster outside of your door, you can't let anyone else in. You can't let love in. You know how many times people have told me, why aren't you grateful, Trey? You have so many things around you. Well, gosh darn it, it's because I am waiting for disaster to happen. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. My trauma is telling me that outside of those doors, there is an agent with an AK-14 or an M-32, whatever those things are called, ready with a full-on SWAT team gear, just waiting, ready to come in through my door and take me away, with documentation that has my name on it that says, take this kid away. And I'm not 50. I'm 12 when I am feeling that. I'm 14. I am this young kid who not only is afraid of being deported and sent back home to a war-torn country, but whose grandma, to top it all off, was constantly not feeling well. And so even my safety in my apartment with my grandma, in our little apartment, was at times unsafe, because I thought, what if my grandma dies? Not only am I going to be taken away any minute, any day, any second, but then my grandma might be gone. And then what am I going to do? Who's going to take care of me? I'm going to have to go back home. So as you can imagine, it was a very chilling experience. And it's kept me from receiving the love from people, from truly embracing the blessings around me, except my wife. I mean, I think the only people that I let through all of that trauma, besides my therapist, have been my wife, my mother, my grandmother, who have loved me, these three ladies, who have loved me without conditions, who have understood, who I've allowed to enter my darkness, my darkest hour. Maybe it's not my darkness, but it's my darkest hour. But yesterday, it lifted. I wasn't even planning on it. I don't even know how it happened. I have no idea what I was saying. But suddenly, it just hit me. There's nobody waiting outside my door. There's nobody coming to get me. Jesus is actually outside of my door, and he is now coming in. And behind him are hundreds of people, ready and willing to embrace me, to love me, to bring me food and heal me and sing with me and actually listen to my story and worship Jesus together with me. And so if that's true, why do I have to give in to anxiety and to, oh, what if this happens, or what, I wonder if this pain is that? That's what I wanted to do this morning. You know, this morning I woke up with some pain and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why am I'm going back. I've had a great weekend, amazing, but that's what happens sometimes. This thing wants to come back and grip you when you least expect it, and suddenly there I am in bed just sucking my thumb, just like, oh, you know, I'm in pain, and what if, when all the what ifs come back. That's the trauma of expecting someone to get you. That's the trauma, speaking of that ICE agent outside of your door, for me, the INS agent with a clipboard, with an order of deportation, with guns. That's what that is. It's that trauma speaking, but I have now realized that what actually is outside of my door is Jesus. He's the one, every time I feel panic, he's the one saying, no, son, instead of the panic, why don't you let me in? And I want to come and sit with you and dine with you and heal you and bring you peace and bring you comfort. And behind me are 12 disciples and your church and your mom and your friends and your beautiful wife. And behind me are all of these people who love you, who want to be here for you, to help you, because you have helped us. And that's the truth. I mean, that is the truth. And I am just living in that. I mean, this is so fresh. I mean, I'm giving you like fresh content, as they say. I mean, literally, this is what I am learning as we speak, these last 24 hours. And I actually want to read this passage out of Revelation 3, because now thinking of your story, you might be in a similar place where you've been holding that door closed. You've been working so hard to keep that door closed because you are so afraid and you're so certain that someone is coming to get you. That person who abused you, that father who didn't love you, that uncle who was mean to you, that parent who spoke pain into your heart, that spiritual leader who abused you, maybe a mom who wasn't kind. And even though you love your family and you are understanding in your mind, but your body hasn't recovered. And you are in fear that someone is coming to get you, to destroy your life, to keep you down, to keep you from fulfilling your dreams and from being the woman and the man that you are supposed to be. And so I want to read to you this passage where Jesus says that actually it's him who's standing outside of that door. So it says here in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Let me read that again. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I," that's Jesus, "stand at the door and knock." Not ICE, not the INS, not your abuser, not your family member, not your husband who mistreated you, not who you've been, because sometimes it's not even someone else who's waiting for us. It's our own version of ourselves. It's our own worst. It's the worst of us. But I want to tell you that's not the case. Instead, it says here, "I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock." It is Jesus who's actually outside of your door. "If anyone hears my voice," he says, "and opens the door," so this is now your choice. You have to open that door. "I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." So if you let him in, not only is there a dining, you know, where it says here that he will sit and eat with you, that's talking about relationship, intimacy, that's talking about friendship. But so those are the two things that he promises, your friendship and victory. First, he will be your friend. Isn't it great? Man, that's what I need. I need friends. The reason why you feel alone is because that trauma is keeping not only the danger away, but also love away. But when you let Jesus into your heart, right behind him come all these friends, and all that loneliness will go away. But as if that wasn't enough, he then promises victory. It says here, "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne." Sitting on a throne means kingdom. That means rulership. That means that you have servants. That means that you are ruling over a certain land. That's talking about kingdom. It's talking about abundance, prosperity, about blessing others. A king is supposed to be a servant of his people. It's talking about your purpose. The reason why so many times I haven't allowed my purpose to be, or God's purpose to be fully realized in me, is because I'm hanging on to fear. And that's what is keeping you from fully understanding your purpose and fully living in your purpose, is the fear of your ex-husband coming in to abuse you, the fear of that parent coming in to yell at you, that fear of that religious leader coming in to tell you that you're evil. But it is Jesus who's actually there. And he wants to give you friendship and authority. My prayer for you today is that you will live in the knowledge of the grace and the peace of Christ, that you will know that he's standing at the door, ready. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.